From the bottom of our hearts, we want to say to you, thank you for all that you do at North MacArthur to help us at In Search of the Lord's Way. You send volunteers when we have a volunteer day. You send people to sing with us whenever we're doing our recordings. And you help us financially. Many of the workers here at In Search of the Lord's Way, of course, are members at North MacArthur. And we are so grateful for the partnership we have with every one of the churches in the Oklahoma City area. But yours has been such a powerful force for us, and we are so grateful for all that you do for us. Our partnership allows us to take the gospel to the whole world and to people, especially here in the United States, more than ever. And your part in that, that you play with your prayers and with all the support you give us, means so much to us in being able to do that. So, again, we say from the bottom of our hearts, thank you. Thank you for loving the Lord, for loving the gospel, and for loving this ministry In Search of the Lord's Way. God bless.
It's been a great day for us with mission emphasis, a great day for us to come before you and to thank you as a congregation for your support that you have given our mission program over these last several years. So tonight we want to worship. As we worship together, we want to take time to pray for our mission program. We want to take a little bit of time to focus briefly on each of our mission points. And then we want to say thank you to this church family for their generosity and giving. We want you to know that the impact of your giving, the impact of your prayers, is felt around the world. So in the next slide here, we do a quick overview of the mission work supported by the Lord's Church here at North MacArthur. I'm very proud of this program, and as you should be too. First, if you'll notice, there's some domestic missions. And the domestic missions, of course, we support Stephen Kirby and the work that's done out at Luther. This gets a lot of local media attention for all the good work that's done out there. And I was privileged a year ago to go visit on the day that Stephen was preaching, and there was a baptism that day. So the church is doing well also. Of course, the media we support In Search of the Lord's Way. The other thing that many of you may not know about that we do, that it's mostly just a line item in the missions budget, is the prison ministry. Kelly White takes care of that, but it's mostly correspondence stuff, but about $1,500 a year in postage and things like that is funded out of this part of the budget. Of course, most of you are familiar with our foreign missions that we do. We have, you know, a broad spectrum, almost on every continent. We have somebody, with the exception, we don't have anybody in Europe right now. In New Zealand, of course, is Chris and Melinda Miller. We've been partners with them in this work for several years. In Brazil, with Mel and Marley Latorre Sr. and their Timothy training program. Indonesia, there's three different programs, three different ways we help spread the gospel in Indonesia. Marty and Julie Johnson and Job Jakarta, of course, help with a church there. There's a native preacher, Daniel and Naomi Sesabudi, there in Jakarta, and Colin and Ellen McKee that we've supported for a great number of years, veteran missionaries in Indonesia. In Philippines, it's Prissy Sellers and her family. I think Prissy had 9 members of her family that went this year, and we also need to add with Prissy's name, Malali and Kenya this year. In Bangladesh and Nepal, we help support a native preacher through the works of Mike Brooks, Mike and Brenda Brooks, who is the missions minister at a Muscle Shores, Alabama church. And we have contact with the work there. In Kenya, of course, we help with the street ministry that Taryn Talley does in the Grand Caymans, Daniel and Miranda Mayfield. In Australia, of course, Kyle and Carly, and we love them so much that they're going to come back, and Kyle's going to be on the staff here after they're through with their time in Australia. Another part of missions that you may not think about always is, of course, the short-term missions and campaigns, some special appeals, and, of course, as a sponsoring congregation for some of these works, it's our duty to go to do site visits, and also if you're sponsoring a church, you need to also pay for some furlough expenses when they come home. And that's all put in this part of the budget, so we'll be talking about that. Next, when we look at our mission vision, we believe that we have it closely aligned with the vision statement of the church here at North MacArthur. We've heard this many times. We're committed to being a spiritual resource to our community by sharing the gospel, training, equipping, maturing disciples of Christ who are confident in their salvation and prepared for excellence in ministry. So we've adapted a little bit as a mission vision. While we want our church to be praying and giving, we also want to think about works that we are equipping and empowering people, along with works that plant and service projects and, of course, the gospel. So tonight, as we present different areas of our work, we see that equipping and empowering and planting and service, all with a focus of spreading the gospel of Jesus. It wouldn't be wise if we didn't thank a lot of our members who help us. First of all, I'd like to thank Kristen for doing the brochure. She puts it together. Daryl Davis, of course, has put all of our video together for us in the presentation. And I'd like to thank the guys here, Mel, Scott, and Gus, for what they do every day to help missions here at North MacArthur. But when we think about recognizing people, we also want to recognize those who go. So this year, I'd like to recognize all those that went to the Cayman trip. If you're here and you went on the Cayman mission trip, if you'd stand. Okay. Now, if you went to a mission trip some other place this year, and would you also stand? Now, if you've gone on a mission trip in the past, or you're a missionary or former missionary, would you stand? See, every year we have more people standing. Thank you. One of the things we want to do is we want to empower our members to work, look for ways of service and mission. So, if you're thinking about going on a short-term trip, we're going to have one this next year. If that schedule doesn't work out, maybe we can connect you with another group that fits your schedule. If you want to do medical missions, like, you know, have a background like I do, we can connect you with a group that probably can go to the country of your choice. And if you're here and you have it in your heart, or your family's thinking about going into mission work as something you want to do in the future, if you'll see us, we'll do our best to help equip you and help connect you with the right resources. The other thing we want to do is we want to include some of our prayer requests from our missionaries in our service tonight. You know, we work with our missionaries on this, and just as they work with us. We've requested that many of them give us have responded with prayer requests, and they'll be sprinkled throughout our prayers as we go on. Now, the primary purpose that I have tonight is to talk about mission emphasis on equipping and empowering. You know, while the primary objective of each of our works, of course, is to spread the gospel, tonight, as we look and pray for each of the works we support, we will break out works a little bit by function. So I'm going to look at four works that place a lot of emphasis on equipping and empowering the native churches in order for the churches to grow and mature in the Lord. Later, Scott will cover some of the works that, in addition to preaching and teaching, have an emphasis on leadership training. And Gus will cover some of our works that have an emphasis on church planning or the local church. Then Mel will cover the rest. Mel will cover short-term missions and maybe his work to help train missionaries. The first one I want to talk about is Prissy Sellers. You know, I was really excited when I got this latest Christian Chronicle. I opened it up in the middle, and you'll see there's an ABCs of faith. Now, this is about a church-run tutorial program produces top-tier students' baptisms in the Philippines. Only thing it did, it didn't give Prissy credit for coming up with that idea, and I don't think she minds. But for many years, Prissy came up with this idea, the tutorial centers. They call them the missing links that they have. And she understood, as a widowed lady, as a single woman, that she can't go out and preach, but she can get the kids and teach the kids, and then the kids get their parents, and then the local church comes in, and her sons and her son-in-laws get in and help preach. And it's become a very, very effective methodology. Prissy also has gone in over 50 countries around the world doing different campaigns. But one of the things that caught my eye is when I looked at her last report, she was doing a women's conference. She was teaching women strategies in evangelism. What a great blessing we have to be working with Prissy and the work that she does there, that her and her family together do. The next area I plan to look at here is in Indonesia. And in Indonesia, first we'll look at Colin and Ellen McKee, and then we'll look at Daniel and Naomi Sesebudi. Colin and Ellen, mostly it's in translation work. Colin is one of only four men in the Brotherhood that has the ability to translate from English to Indonesian a lot of the works. He's translated a lot of Bill Smith's books into Indonesian, and he helps give the churches their resources so they can grow and develop. And then two times a year, Colin and Ellen travel to Indonesia. They travel, they see some of the churches, they help build up, they do some leadership training. He does a lot of preaching in those churches, a lot of encouraging work, and they have been working literally for years. Colin and Ellen have served the Lord and work in Indonesia for nearly four decades. You know, North MacArthur and Colin have a long relationship working together in missions. I know it's over 20 years. I forgot to check with Dan Walker how long it's been, because it's way before Betty and I came to North MacArthur. However, for the last several years also, we've quietly been supporting Daniel and Naomi Sesebudi. Daniel is a very important for American missionaries. He's a native preacher. He preaches in the city of Jakarta in one of the churches there. A church meets in his home. But if you are a religious worker or a religious educator in Indonesia, you have to have some organization that says it's okay for you to come in. So the Church of Christ organization that says you can come in, its leader is Daniel. He serves as that. So he's the way that a lot of American missionaries can enter the country and do what they do. But in addition to that, he works a lot with World Bible School. He has a radio program that he does there in Jakarta. And they also have an orphanage in their home. Mel and I was privileged to be in his home 3 years ago when we were in Jakarta and saw firsthand the type of worker that Daniel and Naomi are. So we're blessed to have them as some people that help us. The next slide I have says Carried to Christ. Now, most of you did not know that you had a part in this story. If you saw it in a Christian Chronicle, in the April Christian Chronicle, it was an article called Carried to Christ. Now, every year we've been telling you that we support a work in Bangladesh and Nepal. When they had earthquakes in Nepal, we took up a special collection. We met with Mike Brooks, who comes every so often, visits with us. I think that he's got to Mel and Gus ready to go climb the Himalayas or something to some churches there high in the mountains. But what you didn't know was you had a part in this story. So I'd like to sort of let you know what this story is about. You see the picture. Now, I'll get the names wrong. I know that because I don't know the Bangladesh names. So Prodip Barajai a convert to Christianity in the Asian nation of Bangladesh. Now, this is Christian Chronicles saying, I will say he is a member of the Lord's Church in Bangladesh. He studied at Konahula Bible College and ministry is a preacher training school of the Church of Christ. When he returned to his native Manipur district, he began working for a hotel, but he also began sharing his faith with his family. Now, like a lot of guys and a lot of people, when they get a little scared about working with your family, sometimes that's hard to do. So then Mike Brooks takes in the story. So he calls in Mike Brooks, who just happened to be in the country at the time. And Mike comes and studies further with his family. And as a result of this, the family, five family members, including Barjai's parents and younger brother, requested baptism. Now, here's the story. His mother is too feeble, too ill to walk. Mike says that she walked maybe 50 yards up the road that led to the canal where they were to be baptized, but she couldn't make it. So Portadai and his younger brother carried her to be baptized, and thus the article, Carried to Christ. The good news is that family forms the core of the new Church of Christ, the first in Manipur, Bangladesh. The other thing that Mike does really well, in the next slide. Okay. When we ask for prayer requests, every month in his newsletter, he gives prayer requests. So he not only does, he gives news, he give, in his newsletter, he also shows pictures of who he wants to pray for. Now, in a minute, we'll pray for these people. In the middle, there's a guy that Harmas Sarkar, and the reason he wants us to pray for him is him and his wife were blessed with a new son in July. Well, that's not a big deal, except that he's a brand new preacher. He just graduated from the school, and he had just started preaching in Barisal district in Bangladesh, so he wants us to pray for him. Another prayer request is for James and Josana Poraya. And, you know, you can see here she looks pregnant. I just got an update. She had the baby. What's so unusual about that? She'd previously had two miscarriages. This baby was born premature. It was 4.5 pounds, but it looks good. The outlook looks good at this point. So here you have a brand new baby preacher with a wife, and they've were having problems. Sort of the same thing with the third one here. Sort of, you can see the couple with a young child in the middle. The story on this couple is, their last name is Traprona, I don't know. She's very ill, and it's to the point that they don't know if they're going to be able to save her. Here's another young preacher that may be losing his wife and is going to have a small child. The guy on the end here, to your right, the older guy here, is Mr. Bartha Rani, I guess is how you say his last name. He is from Nepal, and he's a native preacher there. He's been preaching for the Lord's Church for about 25 years, but he suffers from Parkinson's. His disease continues to deteriorate, and he's no longer to travel and do much work, and so they want to pray for him, but they also want to pray that void that he is leaving will be filled. Mike goes on to say that all the Christians there in Nepal and Bangladesh, they're poor, and those that serve preachers don't have very much support, but they greatly are encouraged and blessed when they learn the American churches are praying regularly and sincerely for them. So now I'd like to go in prayer. Father, we are so thankful that we can call you our Father, and we give you praise, honor, and glory. And Father, as we look at these native preachers in Bangladesh and Nepal, we want you to be with them. We know that they're vessels of your word. We want you to give them health, give them wisdom, and give them strength as they continue to do your word and your will. And Father, we're so thankful that we have men and women from the States that will spend time and years of their life going to countries such as Bangladesh and Nepal, and to reach out and to help equip and empower the native churches to grow and to prosper. Father, we're also thankful for the work that Prissy does, and we're thankful that she, in her heart, as she asks us to pray for the work, she says, pray that God will send team members to help her with the work that she's doing. And she says that you'll pray that the hearts of the families of these children will be softened and turned to God and His holy work, and to pray for the local congregations that they will retain their and be evangelistic in their ministry, and then to pray that U.S. congregations will continue to support the work. And of course, we pray for her health and her wisdom and her ability. We also want to pray for, continue our prayer for the work in Indonesia. Father, we're thankful that Colin and Ellen have spent many, many years in your service in Indonesia. We're thankful that they are light to that church, that they can go and they can help build up and strengthen and empower that church and can be more effective in the work that's done there. Father, we're thankful for Daniel and Naomi and the work that they do in Jakarta. We're thankful that they're there to help facilitate many other missionaries in the work that they do, and they also help facilitate the local church meeting in their home. Father, we're blessed, and we're thankful for our association with these people. We're thankful that we can work with them in carrying the good news. In your name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to be talking about the missionaries that we have a very close ties with, who are in the process of teaching and training and really bringing up the next generation of leaders. Mel and Marley Latore, most of you know because they spend quite a bit of time with us. We're blessed to have them here with us just about every summer. And these two, if you are not aware, have been working for many, many years in the field. And right now, I talked to Mel this morning because we haven't had a chance to sit down and kind of get an update, but he said that they've touched hundreds and hundreds of young men and women for the sake of Christ, to bring them along and to teach and train them, to have them really be the feet, the hands of that they can no longer, you know, if they can't go out and teach all these people, then they're teaching people to do the same thing. He said that his wife Marley is tremendously effective with all the women that are out there working along with their husbands. And so he said there it's an incredible team, and the fact that they are able to teach these people to carry the gospel to the next generation of Christians is really phenomenal. Really, they're following the exact same principle that Paul used with Timothy and that what Barnabas did with Mark. And so they're continuing this work in the country of Brazil. Mel specifically said that he's currently working with about 15 what he called top-notch preachers who are learning. He said it's neat to be able to be here in the States but still be in close contact with them and answer their questions and help them with the individual problems that they may be having from day to day. He said he gets phone calls and texts from his students all the time. He basically said that he feels like he's a traveling preacher training school, which is a neat way to look at it. He asked that specifically we pray tonight that God bless Mel and Marley with continued good health. He said they are healthy now, but that they continue to be healthy, and that they be kept from evil so that they can continue the work of teaching these new Christians to carry on the work. Secondly, Chris and Melinda Miller. Again, we're all very familiar with this family. We've spent quite a bit of time with them. Many of you have known them for years. We got an update from Tim the last couple of weeks, about 3 weeks ago, I guess, regarding his trip to talk and to be with Chris and Melinda and all of the good works that they're involved with, the time that they're able to spend with individuals, teaching them, encouraging them, really bringing the church in that nation along, And he's been working, he and Melinda have been working over there for years, and he has some very specific prayers that we're going to pray for tonight. First of all, as he says, please pray for the Tumatai congregation in transition. And Tim mentioned this when he gave us his talk, that they're currently don't have elders and that they're working through that and trying to find their way forward. Secondly, he said that we pray that he is able to pick up the lost support. In the next year, in 2018, he's expecting to lose about $2,200 a month because of smaller congregations no longer able to support him. And so he's asked that we pray for that. And in fact, we are trying to help him open some new doors so that he can continue to do his work. He asked for some specific prayers for individuals there, for Curie, as she matures in her faith as a new Christian and with the changes that she's going to be making in her life. He also asked that we pray for Glenn and Makara and their marriage and their commitment to the body of Christ there in New Zealand. He also asked that we pray for the amalgamation or the combination of two different churches, Churches of Christ in Auckland. And he's been working with these two congregations, working with them, trying to help them overcome some minor differences. He didn't give specifics, but he is working with them to become one group in that city. And then finally, and this I think can be applied to all of our missionaries, pray that they continue to find more people who are searching for that gospel. And then Taryn Talley, we were able to be able to host him and blessed to hear about his work in Nairobi, Kenya. As you know, he's working with a group called MITS, Made in the Streets, working with kids who really have no place to call home. They literally live in the streets of that massive city in Kenya. And as you know, he teaches the Bible 3 to 5 hours a day. To these kids who are coming in and they have a school setting and they're teaching them life skills, really, so that they can become really productive members of their communities. Taryn asked that we pray for the students finishing their last semester of training for their specific skills that will allow them to be productive members. He also asked that we pray for new students just joining the program and kind of learning their way, learning about how they do their school and how they kind of get into this program, the MITS program. And then finally he is able to continue to have the positive influence on these kids who otherwise have no direction. So let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity that we have now to specifically talk about and to pray about our missionaries. We pray, Father, that you would continue to give them the strength and the courage to take your word, to preach your word to people who otherwise may not have anyone to tell them. Father, we pray specifically for Mel and Marley that you will continue to give them the health and the strength, and that you will guide them and keep them from the evil that is out there in that world, so that they can continue to be a positive influence to these people who they are in contact with, teaching and training these preachers and teachers for the next generation. We pray, Father, that you'll continue to give them the success that they have had, and that your church in Brazil will continue to grow because of their work. Father, we pray for Chris and Melinda that the church there in Tumatai will overcome the this time of not having eldership. We pray, Father, that men will be raised up so that they can lead that congregation, so that they can be the men that that you want them to be. We pray, Father, that that they will be able to find these men and that they will just be able to grow as a congregation. We ask, Father, that in this time of uncertainty, that you will bless Chris and Melinda with the funds that they need this coming year. We pray, Father, that the new doors will be open, that congregations who may be seeking to help a new missionary will be able to find them, and to that he will be able to fill the hole in his budget. And we pray, Father, that this will all happen in your time. We pray, Father, for the individuals, Curie and Glenn and Makara, that they, as they continue to grow, as they are starting their new life in you, that they will be strong and that they will learn your word and that they will just follow up on the Great Commission and take your word and your promise to their friends and their family and those who they come in contact with. We also pray, Father, for the church in Auckland, that the two congregations that are currently there, that they will be joined together and that they will have fellowship and that they will continue your mission in that city. We pray, Father, that they will do so in a spirit of cooperation and unity. Also, Father, we pray that as Chris and Melinda continue to have the studies, to reach out and to find people, that they will find more and more people and that people may find them, that they can teach them and train them and show them your love and your path to heaven. We pray, Father, that you will bring them to Chris and Melinda so that they can carry on your work. We also pray, Father, for Taryn and the work that he's doing in Nairobi, Kenya. For the students that are completing their work in that school, we pray that you will help them as they embark on their new lives. We pray that all of the word, your word that has been planted in their hearts will grow and that you will help them to spread your word wherever they may end up. And Father, for those students who are just joining that school, that they will become settled and find a way and to know what your plan for their lives is. We pray, Father, that you will help Taryn to continue to be the positive influence on these young people as they appear to have no hope, that you will bring them that hope through his teaching of your word. All these things, Father, we pray in your Son's name. Amen.
I'd like to spend a few moments visiting about our emphasis with church planting. Part of the mission goal we have here at North MacArthur is to find good soil, to find places where we can help plant a church and help a church grow. We do that because obviously we're wanting to spread the word, we're wanting to spread resources, we're wanting to spread with spiritual help and with financial help. And the goal of that is to create congregations that are self-sustaining, to create churches that in time, with support, can create their own mission fields and thereby spreading the word across the world. With that in mind, we have a few families that we support. The Mayfields, Daniel and Miranda in Grand Cayman, Martin and Julie Johnson in Indonesia, Kyle and Carly Kasi in Australia, and BK and Han in South Korea. And Ty will visit about BK in a little. So if you'd join me in prayer with these families so we can pray for them. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be your children. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all that gives us with our lives. Lord, we also ask for help to share that word. Lord, we know that's one of our responsibilities as being a Christian. And Lord, we realize there's times that we can't travel, we can't spread the word ourselves around the world, but we can certainly help those that can. And we're so thankful for those that go and those that preach. Lord, we thank you for Daniel and Miranda Mayfield. Lord, we ask that they have strength and that they stay strong and that they continue to spread your word in the East End Church at Grand Cayman. Lord, we ask that they help to stay rooted in your word and that they can keep your brotherhood strong in that end of the island, that they can always be a light and a resource to those around them. We also pray with their new son that they can learn how to juggle family and church, and we know they can. And we ask that you continue to give them health and give them wisdom in spreading your word where they are. Lord, we thank you for Martin and Julie Johnson and their family. We know there's many difficulties that they have with language and distance and the politics of Indonesia. Lord, please keep their family strong. Keep them safe. Help them with their family and the love that they have for their family and the love that they have for you and the love that they have for the world, for the Word. Please help those around them see that. Help their example of a Christian family and Christian living. Help that example bring others to you. We thank you for their desire to spread your word. Lord, there's such a huge need in Indonesia, that help them stay focused on you and your word. And again, keep their love of you and your word on display to bring others to you. Lord, as Kyle and Carly Cassie finish their work in Australia, we're thankful for young couples. We're thankful for the example that they've given us, that they can go out and make a difference in the world. And as they're wrapping up their work there, as they're attending youth conferences, we ask for wisdom in their teaching, for Kyle and for Carly to help her in the ladies' class and help them teach what's appropriate and teach what's true. Lord, we ask for a safe return for them back to Oklahoma. We're ready for them to be home and to be here. And we thank you for what they've been able to do. Thank you, Lord, for being a generous God. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave us your Son. And help each of us share your love and share your word. Help us to be a light to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Jim, for organizing tonight, for all the service that Jim has done. He's been at this for a very long time, and we appreciate his efforts. We got a good team, Scott and Gus, and I want to especially, as Jim mentioned, thank the congregation. When we think of Jesus going around in his ministry, it wasn't just to articulate the good news. He also lived it out through his interactions, through his relationships, and through acts of service. And that is a part of what we strive to support as well. Stephen Kirby, he works here locally at the Luther Church. The church there is doing a great effort in reaching out to the needs of the community. Stephen helps with their Thursday food program. He works with the Christian Service Center there. He also has different opportunities to preach, not just at Luther, but at some other places nearby like Nakoma Park. He also helps at and preaches at the Joan Disabled Living Center. And he works with a couple great guys there, Mark Hagwood and Chris Hill, and they're doing a really good job in Luther, and we're glad that he's there. We've already had a whole night where we talked about our short mission-term missions, our summer mission efforts, and how we went to the Cayman Islands. We've gone to Honduras a couple years, Houston once, Brazil twice, Cayman Islands, and possibly again next summer. And we also have hopes to eventually go to Nairobi, Kenya as an effort there as well. And what I'll say about that is that the purpose of those trips are twofold: to help the places we go, but also for those places and through those experiences and through those connections and through those acts of service to help us, those that go. And we have seen that played out in a very clear way. We're looking to a specific amount next Sunday, $140,000. If we raise that, a part of it will go towards a new domestic work. We have some opportunities that we're considering, and once the funds are there, we're going to be very active towards that to start something in 2018. I want to ask you to keep praying for those efforts. When I was doing, since I moved from family and youth ministry here to this new position, missions minister, it has allowed me, and the others were very aware of this and very gracious towards this, allow me to spend most of my week at OC. My title there, and I take it as a description and not really a title, but my title there is missionary in residence. And I approach it just that way, as if I'm on the mission field, because I want to say about half of those attending OC are not Church of Christ. So I the things I do there, I teach class, and I teach it just as if I was teaching here, just as I was teaching in the youth, or in the to the youth, or even to the mission field. I don't hold back. I'm very mission-minded when I teach. I make the point about evangelism, about God's mission, about salvation, baptism, the church, and there's a big need, I think, in that generation for us to highlight some very important concepts in of God's Word, and I approach it just like that. I also teach some mission classes to help promote the idea of missionaries and to inspire people to do so, to go on a campaign that I try to take most summers, as well as going on other opportunities that they have there. I do a chapel every Tuesday to the men's soccer team. I was asked to do that. I like soccer. I go. I support most of it anyway. And so that's been a really neat opportunity to interact with the athletes. Many of them are not part of the church. On Thursdays, because doing youth ministry and mission work, it became painfully obvious that we do not relate well. We don't do dating well. We don't do finding our partners well. And so I started a chapel that meets every Thursday called Faithfully Ever After, and it's about relationships. I have about 60, 70, 80 that attend there every Thursday, and we talked about what does God have to do with it, how do I fall in love without losing my mind, when is it time to break up? I mean, you never know. Am I in love or is it just indigestion? Things that are very important to the kids there, and that opens up all kinds of neat conversations. A big part of what I end up doing there, even though that's not mainly what I went to do there, is mentoring and counseling. Just this last week, and this is not uncommon, this last week I had a conversation with a student that has been considering suicide. Had a conversation with a student that does not feel like she is loved and she is worthy of love and cannot understand how God loves her. I met with a couple that is, they've been coming to that dating, and they approached me afterwards and we talked some, and come to find out they're struggling with shame of having gone too far, and how to talk to their parents about that and how to bring the relationship into God's forgiveness and make sense of all that. Also have met with a student. We had a Bible study, and I met with a student and talked about the fact that her mother is dying. And like I said, sadly, that's not an uncommon week. So I just want you to know that we are doing things stateside, Luther included, but also just here on campus, and it's because of your generosity and the opportunity to do so. One more point I'll make on that briefly is Kent Harmon and I are co-leaders of what's called HIM, the Helpers in Missions Program. And it's the idea where people, college students graduate, and after they graduate, they can go and spend 2 years under the guidance of a missionary, mission effort somewhere, stateside or abroad, and they will go and help for 2 years before they go into the rest of their lives. Kyle and Carly Cassie have been doing that program. We have one hymn worker that is in Tulsa working with the Contact Church. We have a hymn worker that is here downtown at the Capitol Hill. And the next 2 to 3 months, we have 5 hymn workers going to Croatia, Vienna, Ireland, those 3 countries. And we already have another couple that's interested in going next year, and we're hoping to send out about 5 every year. And that's all is part of you allowing me to be there. Paul writes to his second letter to the Corinthians, and he starts with the idea of, remember that God has comforted you. You have been comforted by God in many ways, especially because you're in a relationship with God through Jesus. And as God has comforted you and you have gone through the storm with God's guidance, do the same. Comfort others. And with that mindset, he gets to chapter 5 where he says, remember that the old has passed away, and the behold, the new has come. If anyone's in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. And all of this is from God, who through Jesus Christ has reconciled himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. And so we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled. Two things here. Because of what God has done, because of what God has done through Jesus, because you and I have been blessed by the opportunity through Jesus to be reconciled with God, you and I now are in charge and entrusted and called to carry a message and a ministry of reconciliation. A message and a ministry of reconciliation. In other words, we get to articulate what God has done for us through Christ and how we've been comforted with that. Sometimes in very specific ways, how God has guided us through depression, how God has helped us in our marriage, how God has helped us as we're raising children. We get to articulate that. And then we get to also carry out the ministry of reconciliation. We're in acts of service through connections, through relationships, through interactions. We reach out to people and share with them the good news that they too can be reconciled with God through the efforts of Jesus Christ. That's missions. Here or somewhere overseas. As I close this part with a prayer, and we normally have an invitation, but tonight we're going to do it just a little different. Here's the invitation. As I'm praying and asking God to guide us in this, I want you to join me in prayer and ask God to continue to motivate you, to empower you, to move you, to continue to carry out the message and the ministry of reconciliation, be it whichever opportunities he opens for you to do those two things. Pray with me. Dear God, thank you for the opportunity to be a part of your kingdom. Thank you for your message. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for Jesus reconciling us to you, God. Thank you for this congregation, its generosity, its many efforts. Thank you for the partnerships we have. Help us continue as we go about our day to be mindful of this powerful message and this great ministry. Help us continue to be generous as a congregation so that this can be done throughout the world through the partnerships we have. Thank you, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's have the invitation song.